Hey, what's up? Hello, future casters. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Past, Present, Future Cast. I am your host, Maria Elena Pakulis, and I want to wish you a very warm, happy, joyful Pride Month. This episode today is coming to you on a different day of the week. So I had been uploading on Sundays, but this episode is dropping today on June 4th, which is a Wednesday. We're switching the upload day just because it works a little bit better for my personal schedule. But side benefit, Wednesdays in traditional astrology are associated with Mercury. Wednesday is Mercury's day. And Mercury is the planet that rules over communication and technology, so it's a good day to upload a podcast. Another little change that we're making to the format as we go along, I'm going to keep these intros much shorter moving forward. We're going to skip over pulling a card of the week or card for a couple of weeks. I have never really resonated or vibed really well with collective card readings. I think tarot is such a personal practice and is best done in a one-on-one setting. So my heart's just not in it trying to do these cards of the week or these collective pulls. So we're going to skip that and keep the focus on these awesome interviews that I'm bringing you every other week. I would love to get back to that weekly schedule. I'm hoping that this summer will provide a little bit of space in my schedule to do so. Fingers crossed. But I do have a bunch of episodes, a bunch of interviews that are already recorded, and I just have to edit and get ready to send out. And then I've got a whole other lineup of folks who I either have scheduled and ready to interview or who I'm hoping to get on the schedule. If you have any recommendations of artists, creatives, makers that you think would be awesome on the pod, please send them my way. You can DM me at Past Present Future Cast on Instagram or on my personal page at Persephonic777. And of course, there's some bonus content. I haven't uploaded anything recently, but there is some past bonus content on the Patreon, patreon.com/persephonic. That's P-E-R-S-E-P-H-O-N-I-C. So all that being said, let's hop right into our interview today. I'm excited to bring this one to you. This is an interview with someone that I've just been like internet mutuals with for many, many years and have really enjoyed watching her art and career expand and grow, and we got to talk about some really fun opportunities that are coming her way. So without further ado, here is my interview with Amy Monahan. Hello and welcome. I am here with Amy Monahan. Amy is a writer, collector, and multimedia artist. Amy, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm very excited and scared.
There's nothing to be scared about, but round two of attempting to record. We have tried this multiple times in multiple ways.
Yeah, we're powering through. We already had technical issues on my end, so I think we're doing great.
First time we started to record was technical issues on my end, and then we had some technical issues on your end, but now we're here, we're recording, everything seems to be functioning, and all right, we're gonna jump into it. So, Amy, you are a writer, and you recently just had a residency at the Grand Canyon. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, I was there for about 8 weeks.
The one thing that I know about you, we know very little about each other other than what we share on Instagram, but the one thing that I know about you is that you have a deep connection to the Grand Canyon. You love the Grand Canyon. Yeah. So when I saw that you announced that residency, I was like, oh, she did it. Oh my gosh. I like felt how big of a deal it was for you. I was so excited for you. So I'd love to hear about what that experience was like.
Yeah, totally. It's like the one thing that anybody who knows anything about me knows. It's like my one personality trait is that I like the Grand Canyon. And yeah, it was amazing. It's through Grand Canyon Conservancy, which is like the nonprofit that works with the national park. And they put you up in an apartment in a historic building right on the South Rim. And I lived there for like 8 months or 8 weeks, like I said. And your only job is just to make art and make public programming and, you know, give talks to tourists and presentations. And it was so, so fun. And I was working on a novel while I was there and a collage project. And I miss it every day. And it was the highlight of my life. And I wish I could go back.
I bet you do miss it. Well, it sounds like you're going to have some opportunities to head over to the Grand Canyon again soon. We'll talk about those shortly. But tell me about the novel and the collage work that you were working on.
Yeah, so there are two historic photographers who, they're the Kolb brothers, Ellsworth and Emery. And if you've ever been to Grand Canyon, they have Kolb Studio, which is like a historic building right on the rim. And they were like 1905 through like 1970, they ran this photography studio. And my background is actually in photography. I did my undergrad in photography. So in addition to writing, I'm like, you know, really obsessed with visual art and anything photography related. So the first time I went to the Grand Canyon, I stumbled into this studio and just kind of got obsessed with them. And so my novel is about them, but it's also kind of about like photography and history and memory and the canyon. And yeah, and the collage project I was working on there was like sort of a mix of my photography and historic photographs that I got from them, because their whole collection, their whole archive is like at the canyon, basically. So yeah, so it's kind of a work in progress still. I'm very much still figuring out what it's going to end up as. But yeah, that's what I started while I was there.
That sounds really cool. I'm excited to read that if and when it becomes available. And what do you think it is that draws you to that place, to the Grand Canyon? Where did the interest come from?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I don't really know. I mean, I went there for the first time when I was a kid, family vacation, like very typical. I think I was like 11, 10 or 11. And then I don't really have many memories of it the first time I went. So I think I was just, you know, being a bratty little asshole. Like, I don't really think I connected with it that time. And then I went back many years later as an adult. And that was when I was kind of like, oh, this is the best place on earth. And I've been there so many times since then that I've lost count. And I think it's just something about the like permanence of it feels both really scary and really exciting to me. And it's this idea of like, oh, this is going to be here. This has been here like way before me, and this is going to be here way after me. And whatever's going on right now, it kind of is, I mean, it's corny, but it kind of is just like, it gives you perspective. And it's like the one place that I know that I'm like, oh, this is gonna pretty much stick around. That being said, there's a lot of environmental stuff, conversations you can have about, you know, preservation. And obviously, like, there's a ton going on with national parks right now and questions about, like, how do we protect these spaces? So, yeah, I don't know. There's something about just being there and feeling like, oh, shit, this is like I am nothing compared to this, that I find really interesting.
Yeah. And you mentioned memory as one of the words that you kind of used to describe this novel that you're working on. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, one, like the legacy and tradition of photography and art making that you're kind of stepping into or studying or highlighting or working with that you did through that residency. And then also, how does memory all connect in with it?
Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility, I guess. I mean, especially in terms of a space that's very historic, sacred, like I think the ways that we preserve that space through images are really important. And I don't consider myself a photographer anymore. There was definitely a time when like I wanted to be, but I think I identify primarily as a writer right now. So my interest in photography is like connected to my writing, and I think they go hand in hand, but I wouldn't consider myself a photographer. But I think for people who do, like the Kolb brothers who I'm writing about, there's something really like, it's a lot of power because you are kind of preserving a version of this place or this person or whatever. And yeah, I think that's the main thing that always has interested me about photography is this like relationship to memory and how true it is. And, you know, is the photograph the thing? And I don't know. I love all that. I nerd out about all that stuff.
So memory kind of like stuck out in the words that you were using to describe the novel, because one of the cards that's come up, we've had two like really intense cards come up for your past work. And the first one being the High Priestess. So Ooh. The High Priestess is connected to the moon. We have a little crescent moon symbol here. She wears kind of a triple moon sort of hat on top of her head traditionally in the imagery of this card. And the moon is so deeply connected to our memories and to kind of like that collective unconscious that holds like all memories of all humans throughout time. So it seems like that is really a major theme in some of the work that you are working on right now. And then legacy was a word that I used, like legacy and tradition, because thinking about how these are some kind of like prolific past photographers who have a strong, or they're a major piece of like the tradition and history of photography and of that region. We also have the Hierophant coming up here. So the Hierophant being also connected to legacy, tradition, continuing to like pass down teachings. So I'd be curious to know a little bit more about what it is that you're sharing about these men. I've never heard of, you said the Kolb brothers, like K-O-L-B?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I've never heard of the Kolb brothers. I know that name. I'm wondering if they're the namesake of Kolb Road here in Tucson, because we do have a road named that.
Yeah.
But I'd be interested to know a little bit more about like their history and what like their significance is to this region and to your work.
I mean, it's tough for me because I'm a fiction writer. So whatever I write about them is going to be filtered through the lens of, and I don't think that's a bad thing, but anything I write about them is going to be filtered through the lens of what I, as the author, want it to be. And that's true, I guess, of nonfiction too. But there's definitely a separation between what actually happened and what is going to happen in my book. For example, like the basic premise of the book is that one of the brothers dies. And then when he wakes up, he's been reincarnated as a cougar at the canyon. And so he gets to like watch his funeral and watch his brother who's still at the studio. And he goes on this like journey as a mountain lion. So that, to my knowledge, that didn't actually happen. I don't know. But so I think there's...
Who can say?
Yeah,
who's
to say? It actually is all based on fact. I don't know. This is just... I intuited that is what happened to him. No, but I think it raises a lot of interesting questions as like a fiction writer, because you're kind of like, these ultimately were people who were real human beings, and now I'm writing about them in a way that is very fictionalized. So they have their own, you know, I think the idea of like the photographer, and it's also, you know, the white male photographer at the turn of the century. Like there's a lot there with legacy and like the kind of questionable nature of that legacy, but then it also filtered through my legacy as the writer, and like to what extent do I owe these actual historical figures some kind of truth in the writing? And I have no answer to that, but I just think it's interesting. So I mean, I think that their legacy in terms, I'm also like really into archives and collections and museums. That's my favorite. And yeah, the road in Tucson, to my knowledge, is actually named after Emery Kolb, who was the younger brother. And he left his whole archive, all his letters, all his documents, everything to Northern Arizona University. And that is all there at the archive. And so I've spent like hours just like getting my grubby little hands all over these documents. And it's really, really interesting, the idea of legacy of like, this was a full person's entire life. And now it's just like in these boxes in this archive. So yeah, I don't really have anything intelligent to say about it other than that like fucking fascinates me.
Well, I think that's a really interesting concept of creating a fictional story based off of real people and some notes of reality. And I think that makes a lot of sense for the two cards that are here, because there is like, what is the doctrine that's been passed down? What is found within the archive? What is, I mean, archive is such a great word to connect with the Hierophant. So I've talked about this card. This card has been coming up a lot, actually, in readings lately. And I've talked about how in another version of the deck, outside of the version that we're using right now, that this figure is depicted as a librarian. And the librarian is the person who kind of like maintains the archives and shares them and passes them down. And so in some ways, you are working in that realm of digging through the archives, analyzing, assessing, seeing what was left behind from
these people from the past who are passing down some bit of history or tradition. But then there's also this like intuitive and it sounds like somewhat like spiritual aspect of how you're approaching the story that's being written. Because thinking of someone, you know, passing and being reincarnated as, like you said a cougar. That feels very like beyond the veil. Okay, now let's take like an intuitive approach to understanding who this person was, who these people were, and the mark that they've left on the world beyond their living existence and beyond just what they left behind in physical documents, physically in the archive.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that, and I feel like that's kind of where I've landed as a writer right now. I think I love the blend of those two things because previously I definitely feel like I took a more like scholarly approach to my art where I wanted everything to be very factual and based in, you know, based in truth. But I think like the older I get and the more I write, the more I realize that like truth can be somebody dying and becoming a mountain lion. Like that's just as true to me at least. So I love those two cards together.
It's a very cool combination. It's a very cool combination. There's also something to be said about like the dichotomy of masculine and feminine here. Like when I teach tarot, I teach the emperor and the empress are one form of the dichotomy of masculinity and femininity, which again, I don't feel like I necessarily have to say this because I feel like I've probably said it before in the podcast, but of course that has no connection to gender and like biological sex. This is just like concepts that are outside of that, but they're useful words to use. It's one form of like duality in the world. But in tarot, the masculine has in and of itself a duality and the feminine in and of itself has a duality. And so the High Priestess is one aspect of the duality of the feminine and the Hierophant is another aspect of the duality of the masculine. So they're in many ways counterparts to each other. So that's just an interesting note. It's just very, it's cool to see them coming up together. What came before writing? You said you studied photography a little bit. I imagine that influenced you. What kind of led you to this point of now working with writing and the written word?
So I studied photography in undergrad. That was my major. And I think even then I wasn't really interested in like being a photographer. I think I was more interested in like photo theory and, you know, curatorial stuff and archives and all these things that we're talking about even back then. But I did that. And then I did a master's degree in screenwriting, actually. So for like a long time, for like the last 10 years or so, I live in Los Angeles. So I've been here chipping away, you know, trying to, I mean, and I wouldn't say for the last 10 years, it's been probably for the last like 4 or 5 years, I've been pretty focused on fiction. But prior to that, I was like all in on screenwriting and really thought I wanted to work in TV or work in film, writing movies. And I did do that to an extent, but I think I don't know, I'm a little bit like not a control freak, but when it comes to my writing, I think there's something really cool about the, I'm like, how do I say this in a way that doesn't make me sound annoying? But I'll just say it anyway, which is that I think like film and TV are very collaborative mediums where you sit down and you write a script and you potentially like work on it for years and then somebody else takes it and does what they want to do with it, which is great. That's the nature of the medium. And I think that's really cool. But I found something really satisfying about like sitting down, writing my little stories, and then it's done when I say it's done. And it exists in its final form. And I'm not waiting for somebody to give me money to produce it or to attach an actor. Or I just think there's something really, really cool about how consolidated the process can be. And of course there's, you know, there's business stuff with all of it. Like there's editors and there's always going to be some outside element, but I think the actual writing of it, like you end up with the finished product. Whereas I always felt like with screenwriting, it's like, okay, I've finished it and now I have to go do this other thing. So that's kind of how I got here. And honestly, like pandemic really was a big influence on that. Like when Hollywood shut down, it was like, oh, okay, I guess, you know, let me try and write a short story, which I've never done before. And I loved it. So ever since then, I'm kind of, yeah, I'm like, you know, fuck Hollywood. I'm just going to write my little, gay stories and be done with it.
We love a little gay story. And there's also nothing wrong with being a bit of a control freak. I'll say, as a control freak myself.
Yeah. Thank you.
When I first started kind of figuring out how podcasting works, I was trying to do it in a more collaborative format, and then that did not work. And I was like, actually, I'm just going to do everything myself.
Yeah. And there's like a stigma against that sometimes, but I feel like it's your art. It's your project. Like, you know what you want to do with it. So what's wrong with that?
Exactly. So what is, we've mentioned off camera a couple times that you're in a really like kind of transitional, things are very changing, stuff is changing like by the minute, by the day, by the weeks. We talked a few weeks ago and it sounds like things have already changed. Where is most of your energy and attention focused right now? And what are the current projects going on?
Yeah, so currently I am wrapping up my time here in Los Angeles. Like I said, I've lived here for 10 years. So it's, and I am a Taurus sun, Taurus moon. I am not good with change. I like for things to be the way that they have been for the most part. So moving anywhere for me is like a really big deal, let alone moving out of, I mean, when I moved, my last apartment was literally a mile away from where I live now. And I was, you know, hysterical about it. So I'm now planning on moving out of the state. And, last time I talked to you, I thought I was moving to Arizona. I'm not anymore. But what I'm working on now is this cold project and another project that's also a novel. And that project is set in Kansas, which is a place I have like also a real connection to in a very different way than the Grand Canyon. I would say the Grand Canyon is like a very healing place for me. And Kansas is a place that holds a lot of like not so healing things. My grandmother lived there for years and years and years, and we would go visit her every summer, and she's died now. And it's just like a very, it's a place that like very heavy with emotion, but also like really interesting to me. So I'm working on those two projects simultaneously. I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between them. And I had planned to do another master's degree in, because like I said, I have one in screenwriting, and this is so silly goofy, and I struggle with the silly goofiness of it like constantly, because I'm like, it's already a silly, goofy enough degree to get on its own. And then to do it again is like insane, but whatever. So I was going to do one in creative writing fiction, because I do feel like I still have a lot to learn in that area. And I was planning on going to Northern Arizona University, which is where all the Kolb archives are. But literally last night I got a different offer that's you know, way more money and in a place I've never been to before. Fayetteville, Arkansas. So shout out my Arkansas girlies. I don't know. Have you been to Arkansas before?
No, I haven't. This is breaking news. I'll say yeah, you're breaking my heart because I was so excited about you coming to Arizona.
I know. And I was so excited too. But yeah, so I crashed out fully about it all day yesterday. And then I think I kind of came to the conclusion that like the Grand Canyon is not actually going anywhere. I don't know if that surprises you. It surprised me when I realized. So I'm actually going to go do an MFA in Arkansas randomly. And I think it'll be good because I almost feel like the Arizona was like in many ways the comfort choice. Like it's a place I feel like I already know and I have friends there and like it feels very safe and welcoming. And I think it'll actually be good for my writing to just like be somewhere completely random and completely new. But that being said, I'm scared. So I'm no longer crashing out, but I'm like in the post crash out phase now where I'm just like, what the fuck? But I think it'll be good. And that's what I'm working on now. I'm working on those two projects. So it's kind of interesting because the choice between the two schools kind of came down to, not that this is going to make me sound like, you know, such a LA coastal elitist. I'm like, Arkansas is basically Kansas, right? But it is, you know, it's 5 hours away from the town where the novel that I'm writing takes place in Kansas. And it's like a very kind of geographically related area. So I ended up kind of having to choose between those two projects. And I think what like swayed me was that like realizing that I don't have to choose, that I can keep writing about the Grand Canyon, even if I don't live near the Grand Canyon. So yeah, that's long-winded, but what is it? TLDR. I don't know what's going on, but I'm doing my best.
Well, I don't know if you caught my face a little while ago, because after I asked the question, I flipped over the cards that were for the present, and I was like, whoa. Because so far, all four cards that we've pulled have been within the major arcana. And so that indicates to me that you are in a really, like, transformative, dare I say, like, aligned, which... space, which doesn't necessarily mean that like things are all going right, but just that you're being faced with a lot of opportunities to learn and grow. And the cards that have come up for the present, I think it makes a lot of sense that there was a little bit of prioritizing of the Kansas story, because it sounds like that is maybe going to be a little bit of like shadow work for you in diving into some things related to maybe your family, your lineage, your upbringing, or like your family's upbringing, with your grandmother having been there. Does that sound like it's in the realm of what this project is about?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Because we have, so first of all, you had to make a great choice. Literally last night you were faced with a great choice. You were at a crossroads determining, am I going to Arizona? Am I going to Arkansas? That choice likely will shape a lot of your future. It'll certainly shape at least the next few years, and then the next few years continue to shape the years after that. So it's no surprise that we have Judgment coming up first here. Judgment is absolutely a card. Crossroads is like the number one keyword I would give for this card. Folks often point out the cross that's on, frequently shown on the flag that the angel is like heralding, because that in the classic Smith-Waite depiction of this card, because that cross is representative of the crossroads of needing to make a choice. And you talked about how Arizona felt like the safe choice and felt like the more like comfortable choice. And when the choice that we're presented with Judgment is often between what is safe and comfortable and what is actually going to serve our growth in the long term. So you were faced with that choice. You had to make that choice. And the other card that came up here is Strength. And ooh, Strength is a card that the number one keyword I would give for this card is shadow work, because it is kind of about diving into the parts or aspects of ourselves that we have shoved away, that we've identified as beastly, or as unbecoming, that we don't want to have like in the forefront of our personality, and starting to show compassion to those parts, make friends with those parts, become acquainted with those parts, and give them like the love that they didn't receive previously. So I kind of think that some of this project, maybe some of this Kansas project, is maybe going to be diving into some of the shadow work that needs to be done within like your family line, and not just on your own behalf, but with your parents and your parents' parents and beyond in that ancestral line. How does that sound to you?
Yeah. Oh my God. That resonates for sure. And like, yeah, I don't know. This is maybe like too literal of a response, but when you were like beastly and like the parts of you that have been unloved, that's like so connected to the book. The book is like set at like a wolf sanctuary, like a Tiger King-esque like wolf sanctuary. That is like terribly badly run, and the wolves are mistreated. And like, I've never really like thought about what that means and why I chose to set it there. But I think, yeah, that really resonates.
It can never be too literal. I love when it's so strikingly literal. Okay, I want to hear a little bit more about this. So it's set at a poorly run wolf sanctuary, and it, like, is your grandmother connected to that? Like, was she adjacent to that? What's the connection between your family there?
Yeah, so she did not own wolves, but she did own about 2 dozen cats, 1 dozen dogs, maybe more. And it was the sort of thing where, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
I'm shaking the card to the camera because the card features like a woman, a feminine figure, interacting with an animal, which is usually a lion. Hello, feline. Hello, cats. Hello, hello, Tiger yeah. King.
Yeah, no, I'm a little shook by that. Yeah, and it was, you know, she moved to Kansas when I was around 11. And every time we would go visit her, usually like once a year in the summer, she would just have accumulated more animals. And it, you know, got really bad. And it was like something that I think kind of still like haunts all of us, me and my parent or my mom and my sister, my cousin. So, yeah. So I think the wolf sanctuary is a little bit of an extreme embellishment on that situation. But it is kind of just like rooted in this idea of like taking on so much to the point where you start having to neglect it and it starts like consuming you.
The story, that's the story of strength there. And there's so much to be like explored around the idea of why, of like, what is the wounding? What's the pain? What's the trauma that we're running away from that is driving someone to accumulate beings, accumulate animals, accumulate these lives in like an attempt to take care of them? And then what happens to you as you fail in that task? And like, what is there to be learned there? And there's likely, I mean, like you've said, it still kind of haunts like you and your cousins and your family. And yeah, that's exactly the story of strength of this card of like, okay, how can we see and meet those, you know, the part of yourself that is your grandmother, that the part of yourself that is your grandmother, and that is this person who had this tendency or this way of living that was damaging? And how can you meet that part, understand that part, and give it the compassion that it needed, that had it received, maybe it wouldn't have done those damaging acts, right?
Totally. Yeah, it's that. Yeah, you're good at this. Damn.
You're providing the story. You're providing the story here. I'm just like amazed at how this is all lining up. Incredible. The cards today has been, this is the second interview I've done today, and the cards have just been like hitting in terms of the stories that we've been talking about. I'm really shook about the fact that you had to make that decision and judgment came up there. Because there's so much. It seems like you're in a phase right now where there's so much to learn and to like really grow. When judgment comes up, it often feels like judgment is the second to last card in the major arcana. It's the card that comes right before the world. So we have that choice in judgment to stay where we're at, stay on the level that we're on, or to make the choice to grow. And when we make the choice to grow, that brings us this brilliant, like, culmination. It brings us to this great culmination point of the world. So it feels like you're like really on the precipice of diving into some important work that's going to help you continue to grow, continue to up level, continue to share your art with the world. And also in many ways, like it feels like doing some healing to like your family lineage and ancestry.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, we could use it for sure.
Yeah, right. Right. Incredible. What was the inspiration to get started on this Kansas-based project?
It started from wanting to write something fun, which, as you can see, it has moved away from that a little bit. But there is, I think, like, it sounds a little bit more dark than it reads. There's a lesbian romance, and there's a truck stop prostitute who falls in love with a female trucker, and like, there's like fun elements to it. But I think it just came from a moment of being like, ugh, I'm like tired. I want to just like write something that feels like I'm writing fanfic. And so this was that. And yeah, I don't know that it still feels like that. Yeah. And also just, you know, wanting to kind of go back to that place, Kansas. I think it I've always kind of been like, what could I write that's set there? Because I always think about it. And this just felt like the right place for that to happen. And yeah, it's, you know what, it is still going to be fun to write, but it is definitely going to have another layer to it as well, I think.
Yeah, a little bit of like a layer of learning and personal healing. Can I ask, do you ever work with tarot cards? Are you acquainted with tarot cards at all? Do you have a deck? Have you shuffled them yourself?
I do. I'm an amateur. I will say, like, I used to be much more in tune with it than I am now. And that's like a thing I kind of miss about myself. I miss my little witchy era. But yeah, last night I did consult the cards for my decision about the schools, and they were helpful. I got the Three of Cups for the choice to go to NAU, and then I got something else that I can't remember that I interpreted as meaning like, oh, I got the Fool for Arkansas. So I don't necessarily know what that means, but it felt like a sense of like, oh, this is like comfort, community, like familiarity for NAU. And then the Fool, like this like new adventure that is totally outside of anything I've done before. So I want to get back into it a little bit. I feel like I can't remember when, probably like 2020 or 2021, I bought one of your little cauldrons and I still have it. And
you
I keep my little cards
did.
In it.
Oh my yeah. gosh, I forgot. There was one lore drop. There was one brief period of time where I was really, it was right in the start-ish of the pandemic. I guess it was 2020 where I got really into doing pottery at home. I'd been taking pottery classes before the pandemic hit, and then I was able to like go in on a little tabletop wheel with my stepdad when I moved back to Tucson. And yeah, there was one round of I sold a batch of cauldrons, and they're like really like precious to me and like near and dear to my heart. So I love that you still have it. I'm going to kindly request
right
a picture
me.
Of that. Okay. I'm going to request a photo of that later, because I want to remember which
I
one
got
you got. Amazing.
Yeah, my tarot cards live inside of her. They live on my little table there, and yeah, I feel connected to them, but I need to get back in touch, I think, with my inner witch.
I like that you pulled the cards to help you with this choice, because that's one of my favorite ways to use tarot cards is to help in making a choice. And when sometimes folks will come to me and I'll do that type of reading for them, kind of help walk them through it. But when we're doing specifically what I call like a choices spread, I try not to give as much interpretation of the cards. I try to allow the person to look at the cards and just see which image just feels right for how they want this choice to go down. And it sounds like with the two cards that you pulled, the Three of Cups and the Fool, that there really was no wrong choice. There truly wasn't a wrong choice. It was really just a matter of exactly what you said. Do I want this to be comfortable and fun and like with friends and community? Or do I want this to bring me something new, bring me into a new opportunity, a new space, and kind of, yeah, do you want to take that leap? I think when a major arcana card comes up in a choices spread, I'm always pushing people towards the major arcana card, unless it was like the Tower or something. Then it's like, well, think really hard before you choose that. You're welcome to choose it. It will shake your life up, but think really hard about
yeah.
it. But yeah, I do see those major arcana cards as being like much more pivotal, like providing us much more of an opportunity for growth versus an opportunity to have a good time and a good experience, but potentially not develop as much as you could with the other option.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I feel like I'm in a place where I'm like, if I'm going to make a change, like, let me make a change, baby. Like, I don't know. Again, the Grand Canyon will be there, I presume. So yeah, I'll be back at some point. But yeah, for now, I feel like I'm just going to dive into something new.
That's really exciting. You said Fayetteville?
Fayetteville.
I'm still amazed that every card that we've pulled so far has been a major arcana card. We've had the High Priestess, the Hierophant, Judgment, and Strength. So we've been talking a little bit about the future, about what the future is going to look like. Let's keep exploring. Like, how are you hoping to grow and evolve your work? So started off in kind of like photography, screenwriting, moved into more writing, novels, fiction work, and you're going to be continuing that in the future, but are there any other things that you're kind of like hoping to add into the mix?
Yeah, I definitely want to. I feel like when I got, I was very into photography for a very long time, did it all through college. And then I feel like when I moved to LA, I kind of lost touch with it a little bit and became much more like focused on the writing. And in the last few years, when I kind of like started getting back into photography, that felt very nice and very healing. And like, you know, I think that is something that I always will probably enjoy. So I do want to keep working on the collage project that I worked on at the Grand Canyon. And I feel like that'll be something probably that happens not in my free time, that I feel like that kind of like demeans it a little bit. But that I feel like I don't have any commercial aspirations with that, which I think is actually really nice and really important. I think I spent so long doing screenwriting where in an industry that is very like, it's very hard to be writing a script and to divest it from the idea that like, I hope somebody makes this and like, I hope I sell it. And I feel like there are other forms of art, like the collage and the photography stuff that I don't necessarily have any, you know, if somebody wants to give me money for it, great. But it's not something that I do with the ultimate goal of like selling. It's something I do because I enjoy it. So I think that's really cool and important to have as an artist. Like, you're always going to want to sell your novel. You're always going to want to publish your short story. But like, I think I've found it nice for me to also have another art form that is like separated from the financial element. I want to work on that. I think I want to just finish these two projects, the Kansas project and the Cole Brothers project. I feel like those are my real focuses right now. And I think it will take probably a little bit of a winding road to finish them. But if I could come out of the MFA program with at least one of them finished, I would be delighted.
How long is that program?
It's actually, this is crazy, but it's actually 4 years. Yeah. So it's like the only, it's one of the oldest MFA creative writing programs like in the country from what I can tell. And it's like the only one that I have seen that is that long. A lot of them are 3 years. Most are two, a lot are three. But yeah, it's 4 years, which was kind of like another, I feel like that really threw me for a loop yesterday when I was trying to decide, because I was like, bro, I'm going to be 37 when I come out of here. Like, that's old. And my mom, of course, was like, fuck you. Like, that's not old. Like, shut up. But it is. It's like, you know, it's a different, I feel like it feels different to think about like 2 years versus four. But the benefit to that is like, I'll really have time to write, I think. So, it's kind of, I mean, it's basically 4 years that I know my focus will be on writing, which is like huge.
That's a long time. That's a big commitment to make. How exciting. So
yeah,
looking at the cards that came up for the future. So we finally moved out of the major arcana phase. We're into the minor arcana. So the past and the present, all of that, which it all kind of feels a little condensed right now too, like what we talked about of the past with the Grand Canyon residency, like that's really in the recent past. It's still very much like an active project that you're working on. So all of that is kind of like the now, the then and now is all kind of one. And then the future is this like totally separate, like great unknown scenario in front of you that, like you said, like the Fool, you're just kind of like diving in. And we have two cards from the Suit of Pentacles coming up. So see a lot of hard work in front of you, a lot of like effort and labor and just getting to like be in that labor, in that work for a little while. There could be indications of selling a story, selling a book, like actually having some kind of monetary result from this work, but certainly like a legacy left behind for sure. And in ways I think this is going to play out in ways that you may not necessarily be able to expect or anticipate in this moment right now. And I say that because we have the Seven of Pentacles coming up. And the Seven of Pentacles is a card that I think of. This is one of the cards that anytime I pull it with any deck that I'm using, I always think of the version that is shown in the Fifth Spirit Tarot, the deck I'm always talking about. And in that deck, we see like a trellis, like a garden trellis, and there's a plant that's like growing all up on this trellis, and there's a sign in it that says peas, indicating that like this is a pea plant. But when we actually look at the plant, it's growing pumpkins. There's little pumpkins that are starting to, they're not ripe yet. They're just starting to grow. And the whole idea, the whole story is that, you know, the person who planted this and put all the work into this was expecting peas, but the results that they're actually getting are not what they expected. And therefore, the advice with the Seven of Pentacles is to take a different approach, to one, get really clear on the reality of the situation, to be able to see clearly what is growing in front of you, the pumpkins that are growing, to acknowledge that it's pumpkins and not peas, to make peace with that fact, and then to shift your approach to growing them. Because if you keep trying to grow pumpkins on a trellis for peas, the pumpkins are going to get too heavy and they're going to fall off before it's the plant's going to fail before you even get to harvest the fruit. So all of that being said, that whole story is that when the Seven of Pentacles comes up, I like to remind folks of just like, be really open-minded about what could result from this. The idea that you have right now, while great and good and keep working towards that, may have to shift and you might have to change your approach because it may turn out that the results you're going to get are something you couldn't have even imagined right now, which is inherently neutral, but also kind of exciting because it could be even better than you imagined.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like that's just good advice for writing a novel in general. Like sometimes it gets away from you in a good way. So also how cute. I love that image. Obsessed.
I know. If I had the deck with me, it's still packed up. I've been doing a lot of events this month. And so it's still packed up in my box of things that I take to my events. Otherwise, I would pull that particular card out. But it is really cute. And that, like I've said before, that deck really gave me a lot of unique perspective on the cards because of the images that Charlie Clare Burgess drew. I mentioned when we talked about the Hierophant earlier that the Fifth Spirit Tarot version of the Hierophant is the Librarian and gives us that unique perspective on it. The other card that we pulled for the future, also in the Suit of Pentacles, is the Ten of Pentacles. Lovely, lovely card to see when we're talking about future, when we're talking about results, because it's very much, it's really similar to what we were talking about with the Hierophant earlier. And I wouldn't necessarily typically connect those two cards together. There are certainly overlaps for sure. You mentioned you're a Taurus sun and moon, and the Hierophant is connected to the Taurus. So that's kind of your card there. So they both have this earthy connection with the Ten of Pentacles being within the suit of earth. But we talked about legacy, we talked about lineage, we talked about like making your mark, like what you're leaving behind. We talked about archives and also like family. Like we talked about this family legacy with the Kansas Project and this connection to your grandmother. And so there really is this like kind of deep dive, like digging around in the mud and the muck of history. It feels like a lot of what you've been doing, especially with the archives back at the Kolb studio, diving in those archives, but also being able to create your own legacy and like what is the work that you're putting out that is going to be left behind for future folks to dig through themselves and start to connect with your artwork in that way.
Yeah, that's a scary but very cool thought. And that's such a good like personal branding piece. I love like digging through the mud and the muck of history. That's so slay.
Add that to the vision board, add that to the brand kit.
Yeah, but no, but it's so true. I mean, it's definitely like, yeah, that all of that is like like everything that I'm interested in. I feel it, like that sums it up in a way that I never thought of before.
Amazing. Speaking again about the versions in the Fifth Spirit Tarot, in that deck, the Ten of Pentacles is shown as like a house. It's a very like warm, welcoming, comforting looking house. There's like some smoke coming out of the fireplace. And so you may find yourself really making a home in Arkansas. Is that what we're talking about again?
It's like I'm going to say the wrong state. I have to remind myself too. I was like, wait, no, it's actually Alabama. It is Arkansas. It's definitely Arkansas.
So you may really find yourself making a home there in a way that you are not expecting at the moment, making a home and building a legacy in a way that is unexpected. That's what I'm seeing in the future as I take a look at these cards.
I love that. That's very reassuring because I think 4 years seems like a very long time to be in a place that I know nothing about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just like reminding myself that I won't not know anything about it forever. And like, yeah, I love that. And I think that's been something that's been hard for me too in leaving, because I am like so attached to my home and my space. And I'm like, yeah, this is, what do you mean I don't get to take my apartment with me? Like, that's crazy. Like, I had to live in a whole new place. That's insane. But I like the idea that, you know, it will become home.
I personally would be freaking out at the prospect of having to leave someplace I've lived for that long. I've only ever lived in Tucson except for the 4 years that I was at ASU plus 2 extra years that I stayed up in Phoenix. So I've spent 6 years away from here. And I now that I'm back, I've been back for 5 years now. And I'm like, oh, I would be freaking out. Out having to leave again, even if it was for something that was really exciting and that I was looking forward to. Crazy cost of living difference. That's going to be wild, going from LA to Fayetteville.
When I tell you that the one bedrooms there are like $890 a month, I'm like, wow. Okay. Yeah. So that was definitely also a factor in deciding, because it, you know, I think NAU was definitely like, this is a place that I know I love, but I know I will be suffering and poor the entire time I live there.
Yeah. The cost of living in like, Arizona is going up a little bit.
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, the apartment I was about to sign a lease for is the same price as the apartment I have in LA. I was like, damn, like Flagstaff.
No,
okay.
In Flagstaff? Mm-hmm. No. What?
Yeah, crazy. So it'll be fun, I think, to maybe not be that. And that's like another thing that I feel like I've just gotten very used to, like being poor and like struggling financially all the time. So this is like, not that I'm going to be, you know, living like a king, because I'm going to be a grad student. But
yeah,
I think it'll be like a level of like financial security that I'm not used to. And I'm excited to see what that's like.
Incredible. I feel like that also makes a lot of sense for these Pentacles cards coming up. And man, I personally, with myself looking at this, I am just really, my hope for you is to get these things published, because I really want to read that Arkansas, or I really want to read the Kansas story. I'm deeply invested already in just the snippets that we've heard. It sounds really fun. And like a really cool exploration of family and place.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be fun. It does. I think I sold it in a way where it doesn't sound that fun, but I think it'll be.
I think it sounds fun. I think you said lesbian romance. I mean, honestly, as soon as you said Wolf Sanctuary, I was like, this is interesting. That's an interesting setting, period.
For sure. Yeah, I don't have it yet, but we do need a sex scene in the wolf enclosure. I'm just filing that away I've just realized that now. So filing that away, writing it, saving it for later.
Amazing. Amazing. Cool. I feel like I had another question that I wanted to ask you, and it has flitted out of my brain. Is there anything else that we want to discuss today?
This has been so helpful. I feel like, yeah, this, like, it's crazy how much all of this resonated. I'm a little bit shook. And I do think that, like, the universe wanted us to not be able to do the podcast last time because
everything was about to change. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Everything was about to change. And then we almost, like, scheduled it. We almost rescheduled for last week. But yeah. I was like, no, let's just push it to the original date that you had scheduled, because we've rescheduled this a bunch of times. Wow. Yeah. So we did. We needed that extra context of, hey, we're going to Arkansas to have this conversation. Yeah. That's really
cool. And it's
cool.
Been very validating. So I think, yeah, I appreciate it. This has been super helpful.
I'm glad. And I remembered the thing that I wanted to, I don't know if it's a question or a suggestion or just an idea, but I think it would be interesting as a writer. I am not a writer, but I do constantly think about the ways that folks can use tarot cards for their different things that they're doing, especially when it comes to story building. And it could be really interesting for you to do some readings for your characters of like some story building, what cards might they be embodying in different times or scenes or moments in your writing. So that's something that I started thinking about that I wanted to mention.
I love that. That's such a good idea. Yeah.
It's a great story building tool. It's a great story building
for sure.
Tool. Yeah. And yeah. That seems...
Oh my God, smart.
When we talk about... When I like take a zoomed out image of what we've talked about from your past, your present, and your future, even when it comes to photography, screenwriting, all of that, all of it just kind of... And collage, even it all boils down to telling a story. And that seems like... That might be your title on your tarot card for the promo will be the storyteller.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I think like, yeah, these are all storytelling mediums. It's just like, what do you feel most drawn to? How do you feel most drawn to tell the story at this moment? And at this moment, I feel like writing it. But you know, next year, maybe I'll want to do it in a collage.
And who knows, you'll come back to LA and then you'll be a screenwriter or jump into acting, something crazy, something off the wall.
That amazing. I feel confident in saying that I will not be an actor, but you never know. Never say never.
Never say never. The fool may arise again and it'll be time to jump off of another cliff. Incredible. Well, Amy, where can folks find you if they're interested in your work?
Yeah, they can find me at www.amymonahan.com, or they can find me on my Instagram. It's like the main platform I use, which is, I think, my first name, A-M-Y, and then an underscore, and then my last name, M-O-N-A-G-H-A-N, and then another underscore.
It'll all be linked down in the show notes, that website, that Instagram. So go check out Amy. You can see some incredible photos of her time at the Grand Canyon. That was so much fun to follow along with that whole journey as someone who, you know, as a lifelong Arizona resident, I've actually only been to the Grand Canyon twice in my life.
I know, Unforgivable. We got to get you up there. Yeah.
Well, I was going to go up there when you were in Flagstaff, but.
Well, when I graduate from Arkansas, we'll reconvene and we'll get you up there.
Sounds good. I will meet you at the Grand Canyon in Czech's watch approximately 4 years.
Yeah, we've got some time. We'll save up. It's
Sounds
fine.
Good. Sounds good. Sounds good. Incredible. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me and having this chat. And to the listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Please go check out Amy at her website and her Instagram. And as always, happy shuffling.